How do stock photos affect how we think of different groups of people? Do they make us believe that men are usually in the yard or in front of the television, or that women are not involved with high-tech work? Getty Images, which has clients in more than 100 countries, has moved to counter those stereotypes in a changing world, and the company has noticed a tremendous increase in the number of web searches for terms like women coding and female programmer. Lindsay Morris, Senior Manager of Creative Planning at Getty Images, is with me to explain more. Lindsay, what's the background here and the process behind changing the stock photos?
My main role at Getty is to study visual trends, and we use that information to work with our 250,000 contributors around the world. We speak to them about content they should be producing. So, you know, part of my job, you know, people sort of tend to call us visual anthropologists, but we really look at how people are being depicted in imagery and then how it's being used. And then we also try to make sure that we're creating the content that, you know, filling the needs of our clients. So I think that's probably where, you know, it's starting to originate. We want to show more experiences. Clients want to connect with more people and show more, you know, types of roles. So we think about that a lot on my team. And that's sort of how we were, you know, started getting into this type of project. We started thinking about, you know, the changes in women. We were seeing women and how they're depicted really changing sort of all of a sudden. And this was just a few years ago. So it actually ended up, we had a meeting with Sheryl Sandberg's nonprofit, women.org, and it seemed like we shared the same sort of observations and the same message.
Well, can you give us an idea just basically what that means in terms of, if we're going to talk about changing and how we think about gender norms, what are some obvious examples of that that could be reflected in some of the images?
What we want to do is we want to show more experiences of people, and often that is, you know, wrapped around how women are being portrayed. Historically, they're portrayed in pretty limited roles. And I would say that, you know, the same, potentially the same with men too. We talk about fathers a lot in these collections. It's really about working with our, you know, contributors and clients and sort of gauging how women are being shown, how women are changing in business. That's certainly one. We started seeing women who are shown as speaking and who are presenting and who are leading. It sounds like a nuance, but it's a huge shift. It's actually a really big signifier. We were also seeing them, you know, shown in historically male-dominated roles, like in STEM industries, being financial advisors and lawyers and soldiers. I would also say, you know, we've been looking a lot at fathers too. And, you know, fathers were often sort of the no-show or bumbling father in the past, and now we're seeing men who are being sensitive and caretakers, who are taking care of their children when they're sick, who are bringing them to school.
And so what sort of impact do you think these kinds of photos can have, even in terms of, you know, we think about certain people who, on television, let's say, and seeing more people of color and what that can do to younger people. Is there a similar impact that can be seen in these sorts of photos so that the perceptions change and maybe we're not quite as quick to stereotype?
Exactly. I mean, stock imagery gets used in every industry and every segment across, you know, across the whole world. So we want to make sure that there are images that, you know, people can relate to across the world and in all different roles and age groups. We really, you know, we were really ramping up our content on diversity, not only in, you know, race, but also age. It's important, you know, if we, so kind of subscribe to the idea too, you know, that Sheryl talks about and Lean In, which is you can't be what you can't see. And for us, it's really about giving more opportunities to show experiences and to show, you know, people in their lives.
Well, so obviously the Getty reach is very, very powerful. And is there a hope that based on what you're doing and based on what clients have said they want, that this can really have a huge impact and a huge impact rather quickly?
That's what we're hoping. And, you know, we're seeing it in our sort of numbers too. We talk on my team a lot about, you know, this isn't just the right thing to do, it's also good for business. You know, we're seeing, again, these images from our diverse collections. Specifically, I can use Lean In as a metric, but these images have been licensed over 130 countries. 90,000 images have been downloaded so far. We're seeing clients are hungry for this type of content that shows more diversity. It's certainly needed, and again, we're seeing it.
Lindsay Morris is Senior Manager of Creative Planning at Getty Images, and you're listening to the show.
Nonprofits, from Big Brothers and Big Sisters of America to local animal shelters and food kitchens, can have a big impact on the communities they serve. But a new study that looks at their boards shows they have a privilege problem. And the show's Lauren Gilger joins us now to tell us more about this new report. Hey, Lauren.
Hey, guys. So the report came from Board Source, a nonprofit that works to improve governance in the nonprofit sector. And it shows that even as the country becomes more diverse, nonprofit boards are overwhelmingly white. I spoke with Board Source CEO Ann Wallestead about this, and I asked her what nonprofit boards actually do and how they can affect what that organization accomplishes in the community.
That's a great question, and I think it's a question actually that a lot of boards themselves struggle with, is really understanding what is the role of boards in nonprofit organizations and what's most important for them to really focus on and do. And the honest answer is boards, generally speaking, are better at that process of how do we make sure that we're checking the right boxes and doing the right things and staying within the law. They struggle a little bit more with those strategic and generative roles that are really about seeing around corners and saying, how can we do our work in the best possible way?
Yeah, you did a survey and found that these boards are actually getting less diverse, not more. So break those down for us. What did the numbers look like?
We've been doing research on boards for more than 20 years, and we think it's really important to look at who is leading boards, because obviously who is on a board impacts how they are leading in community and beyond. Unfortunately, as you said, we have learned in years and years of research that boards are just not as diverse as we might hope that they would be. And in the more than 20 years of doing this study, we've moved very, very little in terms of boards becoming diverse. And that's, of course, in the context of a U.S. population that's become significantly more diverse.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about what might be behind this. Having looked at it over such a long period of time, why do you think this is?
It's really a pretty simple answer, and that's that despite organizations saying that they are unhappy with the levels of racial and ethnic diversity on their board, they are not prioritizing demographics in board recruitment.
Right. How can having a diverse board for a nonprofit affect the communities they serve? Do you have a good example of an organization that might be doing this well?
The example that comes to mind is a story that's actually been in the press recently about the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. They made a decision to have a quite controversial art exhibit at their art center. I won't go into all of the details, but it was essentially depicting gallows where Native Americans from the Dakota community were hanged in the 1800s. When they made this decision, they did so, it seems, in a vacuum and without the input or insight from the Dakota community. And the backlash was swift, and it was incredibly critical. It actually resulted in the organization, the Walker, deciding not to move forward with the exhibit. They canceled it. And interestingly, one of the things that was requested as they then started to engage with the Dakota community and understand, you know, kind of what had gone wrong, there was a request that the Walker consider electing a Native American to the board of directors. And so that really clearly points out that there is a connection to the way that boards are operating and thinking and making decisions, and the way that organizations are able to engage with community. And there is a real risk of not having authentic and relevant connections to community. And a lack of board diversity, in my mind, really becomes an organizational liability.
What I wonder is also, is it sort of a catch-22, though? Like, is it just that all of the people who are with power, money, influence that end up on these sorts of boards are white? And how would they get out of that?
You're certainly right that, you know, a lot of boards really think about the primary role of the board as access to wealth or access to money. And so they think about board composition as a way to, you know, primarily drive fundraising efforts. But we would argue that not every board member has to be engaged in the same way. We would also argue that there are plenty of people of wealth that come from diverse communities, and that if we want truly to have diverse boards, we need to stop using that as a reason that we don't have it.
So are there efforts underway to make boards like these more diverse or to reflect the communities they serve?
We feel like part of our role as a nonprofit committed to an effective nonprofit sector is to draw attention to the challenges that we see boards facing in terms of board diversity. So this study, which we call Leading with Intent, that's an important way to call attention to the issue. And one of the most stunning findings from the report is that almost one in five of all of the executives that responded said that both they were dissatisfied with their board's racial and ethnic composition, and demographics were low or no priority in terms of their board recruitment. So there is really a challenge in terms of the gap between attitudes and actions. It's not enough to simply say that you care about diversity. You have to do something about it.
Ann Wallestead is president and CEO of Board Source, a nonprofit that works to improve governance in the nonprofit sector. Ann, thanks so much for joining us to talk about this.
Thanks so much for having me.